Chris, good evening and welcome home.
Thank you. Hey, hi.
It has been a very, very long time since we've actually done this. It's 2 months? Six weeks.
I guess so.
6 weeks. So you have been, you're a little tired today, so if
just
you're
a little bit quiet. Yeah.
You have been all over the US, the UK, back to Amsterdam. So your flight schedule was San Francisco, Atlanta, Denver, Amsterdam, London, and now you're back here finally.
Yeah, I made it. I've had so many time zones, I don't even get time anymore. And now, daylight savings. Let's talk about daylight savings.
We lose an hour.
They do it at a different time in the U.S. than back here. I really don't get things anymore.
Yeah, I was also confused. Well, also for the fact that China is on one time zone just confuses me. Right?
Yeah,
you're like, that doesn't work.
It doesn't fit.
That's not right. Okay, so was there any, what were you doing, actually? I know we can't talk about a lot, but you can talk a little bit about what was going on.
Well, without getting into the content, we were doing in-home interviews in three different cities to see if there would be differences between people. Just like not in San Francisco, basically.
Very rousing description, since I know we can't go into more.
Yeah,
but,
I'm sorry.
But this was our first international research program. We've done research in the US, we have done research in Europe, but we have not had a program where we have done research in both continents. So this is actually a pretty cool thing, and you and Lily, who's been on the program before, drove this, and you guys have another few weeks and then you get some much deserved time off to actually relax and sleep a little bit.
Yeah, it was a real boots on the ground project and we tried to live like the locals as well. So we, instead of staying in fancy hotels and having dinners at night there, we basically rented a car, Airbnb, and cooked our own dinner.
And you made some friends at some local bars.
That too, yeah. Especially coffee bars because we needed to stay awake.
Well, welcome back. I'm glad to have you back. And sometimes I forget that people listen to us, but apparently they do because I got several messages asking, hey, I haven't seen updates from the podcast. What's going on? Did you guys stop? No, we didn't stop. We were going to record from San Francisco when both you and I were there. We didn't get a chance to do that. So we've been waiting for this. And now
we tried.
We tried from a cheesecake factory.
Yeah, technical failure.
I don't know. We never actually listened to the recording.
No.
But we did try from a cheesecake factory and then lunch came. And we had to stop. Not the best success.
And then I had to nap after that lunch.
Very, very true.
Yeah.
So today's question, today's topic, this is what we tried to talk about in Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah.
A few weeks before we left to the US, we met up, we went out with Bessie, again, someone who's been on this podcast, another fellow designer over at Raft. And one of her friends was in Amsterdam speaking at a conference. And one of the questions that he had mentioned he was going to get was, what is the best smart technology? And this was something that initially, you know, I said, well, what is your answer? And he mentioned Uber. And I sort of went on a little mini rant saying, well, Uber is not a technology. Uber is simply, a platform that brings together drivers and users, and it leverages technology that's on your phone. Isn't your phone and your GPS, chip what's really driving this technology? And so we had this sort of semantic debate on what this means. And Chris, I asked you the same question, and we also got to this weird sort of stumped moment of what do we mean by smart and what do we mean by technology?
Yeah, and especially the word smart just confuses me. I don't even know what it means in the greater sense of things.
Well, a lot of people would say that, I have plenty of quote-unquote smart devices in my house. I have connected light bulbs. I have a security camera. I have Amazon products. However, if I look at the connected light bulbs, is that a smart technology? It's a protocol, basically, right? I'm using Zigbee or Wi-Fi. I forget what Philips Hue uses. I know the IKEA bulbs used Zigbee. So is Zigbee the smart technology? Or really, I think where we were trying to get with this when we had this discussion, and we've had it several times, is what is the best implementation of technology that you can maybe deem or call smart or intelligent, meaning that it actually provides some sort of quantifiable added value or convenience to your life. But again, this is a very weird question because on the surface, it seems very simple. And then we start to unpack it and then we just get frustrated.
Yeah. Yeah, because if you talk about smart light bulbs, the example I came up with before, and I know you don't deem it a smart technology, but I like to start from that scenario, is the fridge light, the light in your fridge. It's on when it needs to be, and it's off when it shouldn't be. And there's no way it'll ever do it wrong, as long as it's not broken.
So then, I think where we eventually arrived at is, that was the wrong question. When somebody asks you this at a conference, if anyone listening gets asked this about what's the best smart technology, I think the actual question is, what is the best usage of technology that has allowed a product to be smarter and improve your life, right? Because then in that case, you're like, Uber is amazing, right? My Philips Hue lights are pretty fantastic. But then...
But why? Because when you talk about smart lights, right, what that means is that those are lights that can be remote controlled, or maybe remote controlled not only by you, but by some form of intelligence, right?
So I'll tell you very specifically why I like my Philips Hue lights and why they have made my life more convenient and added value. In my living room where we are sitting right now, I have three freestanding lights, and I have foot switches with each of those. Two of those lights are behind a couch. So to turn those on and off every time I enter and leave the living room is a bit of a complex situation. And now I have it hooked up through the Amazon Echo, and I can simply speak a command into the air and adjust my lights. So for me, it is technology that has enabled a smart scenario. And it's a combination of technologies, right? Because it's not just Philips Hue, but it's Philips Hue plus the Amazon Echo, that have allowed me to create a scenario that makes my life much easier than it would have been.
I don't consider that smart. I consider that a voice remote control.
And this is the semantic argument.
Yeah, exactly. So what if you get a little bit deeper into smart, then you're actually going to stumble on words like context and sensors and machine learning. And maybe smart lights actually can see what you're doing and see when you're struggling, or notice the mood in the room and dim it automatically instead of you having to, during a wrong moment, have to say, hey, Alexa, dim the lights.
So there is a light I have on my shelf that is sitting next to us I've never used. It is a product, I believe, from GE called Comfy Light. And it was a Kickstarter program. But it has a motion sensor in the light, and it is supposed to learn when you are home, when you're not home, and your patterns. So that way, for somebody like me who travels a lot, it can make the appearance that I am home by turning on and off the light when I am not home. Mm-hmm. So in that case, is that smart technology? Because again, that's just enabled by existing technology with some of the protocols.
Yeah. And then what comes into play is, okay, is it really that smart? Did it learn my patterns? What if I do something that it doesn't understand quite yet? And then it's going to be wrong. And aren't things that are wrong dumb by definition?
The entire irony that I have with smart technology is clippy, right? It is technology that tries to be intelligent, but because it is never going to know exactly what's going on in my brain, it's never going to actually reflect what I want it to, right? I mean, this is why I love Spotify to death, but I don't trust it to play what I want without me telling it, because it's never going to know. Maybe I saw somebody that looked like something that reminded me of a song, or I smelled something, you know, a scent of coffee that reminded me of, I used to sit in this coffee shop and listen to this one album over and over, right? It's never going to know those things until I get the neural implant. But that's the aspect that so much smart technology is dumb, right? That's why we have the internet of, we can curse on this, right? The internet of shit from Twitter.
Yeah.
Right? Where it's just all this smart technology, like, for example, a $700 juicer.
It's that awesome.
Is defunct now.
Squeezer.
$700 squeezer. A $700 packet squeezer. My Nespresso machine that I just got that is amazing. I forgot. Now I'm going to go on a rant. That's great technology, man. That saves me a lot of time. And it was 99 euros, right? Wonderful. I love it.
Yeah.
I guess it's not really that smart because I still have to press the button.
It doesn't see when you need your coffee.
It doesn't, but there must be mechanisms where I can, I mean, if there isn't yet, there must be mechanisms coming where I can tell my Amazon Echo to talk to my Nespresso machine to make a cup of coffee when I get up, right? That's what I want, but of course then it's not going to have the packet inserted, and these are problems that can be solved.
Yeah, I have this product that I've been thinking about for a couple of years now. which I think it's finally time for us to build it at Raft. It's a bunch of tiny hands that can press buttons on old machines when you tell them to. And you could put one on your coffee machine, you could put one on the switches of your lights, but they're just tiny hands. And whenever they realize that you need the light to be on, they just press the button of your old light and it just works.
So is your answer to this question, not the tiny hands question, but I love that. It's not the creepiest thing ever that you just have little hands wandering around. Do you have an answer to that question? If we reframe that question around what is the best use of technology that has smartness or intelligence built into it that has had a quantifiable positive impact on your life, do you have an answer to that? For those of you who can't see, Chus is pulling a Stevie Wonder and moving his head around heavily while thinking.
Yeah. I don't think I have an answer, because for me, the smart doesn't live in the technological capabilities added to a device, but it lies in what it does with that.
How it's implemented and used.
Exactly. Yes. And for now, there's almost nothing that actually makes me feel that there's something smart behind it taking decisions on what to do.
So I thought about this a lot after the initial discussion with Bessie's friend.
Yeah.
Because we got into a little bit of a debate with his response of Uber and me saying, well, that's not a technology. And then he asked me, well, what's your answer? And of course, I didn't have a good answer. So I thought about it a lot the next day, and I've thought about it since. I still don't have a great answer, but what popped into my head was the use of technology like Squarespace and Stripe and Square and AWS. And the reason why I bring up those specific technologies is because those specific implementations of technology, right? The virtualization of servers in the cloud, the ability to connect a dongle to your iPad and have you swipe credit cards and collect that payment information. The reason why I like those implementations of technology is because it has unlocked a fundamental ability for anybody anywhere in the world to be an entrepreneur. And that to me was such a game changer. If we think 15 years ago, before the iPhone, right? What else? So iPhone was 2007. Mm-hmm. So if we go back to like 2001, when I graduated, the idea of starting up an internet business that existed, right? But you had to build things from scratch.
Yeah.
If you wanted to have a storefront, you may have to go out and buy this credit card machine or something to do credit card processing. But because of the technology that has happened over the last decade, two decades, we have the ability to do credit card processing with this little dongle. We have the ability through Squarespace to set up a store online. We have the ability to do shopping carts online, all automatic. It's nearly plug and play. And this way, anybody in the world can get online, become an entrepreneur, and they can change fundamentally what they're doing with their life. And to me, that implementation of technology has such global impacts. I know it's not the best answer because it's not just one technology, it is several technologies. But the idea of what those technologies have allowed people to implement is mind-boggling to me. That yeah. In a decade, we have completely changed the way that everybody in the world can work.
Yeah, and I think the readiness of people actually to join in on this is big. Right now, you see even a lot of artists that are just putting their work on Instagram without even thinking about it, and they get offers on works of art happening by themselves on Instagram.
So one of my old friends from university, I didn't know this. He has an Instagram account with tens of thousands of followers for his art, and this is what he's been doing. And he just started posting these things because he liked doing art. He thought it was fun. And it has grown into a business for him that he's been able to self-sustain. Right. That discoverability of Instagram wasn't there 10 years ago. How did you get discovered? If you're an artist, you went to a gallery and galleries controlled that. And now you have this ability from, again, anywhere in the world to promote your work to anybody else in the world and to ship it.
Yeah, so it's the readiness of your audience as well to just ask, know that you can ask, find your stuff by accident almost, and just get this kind of open market going. This makes us sound old, but when we were starting out just after design school, there was nothing for us to do. Like, you needed heavy development issue things to get done to make something at all, but the world also wasn't ready for that. You wouldn't be found. You needed to work on SEO on Google. That's still the same thing that people worry about nowadays when they put online websites. But on Instagram, you don't worry about SEO. You just tag the peep out of things and you get found.
20 years ago, Yahoo was indexing by hand, right? I mean, think about that. That is insane, that amount of growth that has happened. One of the most interesting things on the way that business is changing and technology has enabled business to change. I just pulled up an article here from Metallica. And now Metallica was just lambasted for the Napster situation, right? It was, how can you do this? You make millions and millions from people. You know, how can you make these arguments? You're just selfish, you're greedy. But what people may have missed since that point is Metallica has been a band that has embraced digital media more than I've seen almost any, well, actually more than I've seen any other band. For every concert they have, they record it and put it online. And if you went to that concert, there's a code on your ticket that you can go get that digital download for free. If you want to buy other concerts, you can do so for $9.99 US dollars. $10 and you have a 2.5 hour concert. That's a pretty good deal. Just recently, Metallica, and this was an article from Vice, is becoming the first subscription-based band where, and I want to get these numbers right, $598 US dollars. You can go to any show on Metallica's 2018 or 19 US arena tour as long as you reserve for 48 hours in advance. So any tour, you can just call and show up and you can get access to all the music from these tours, right? So if you're a diehard fan, that's a great deal. $600 is a pretty cheap deal to go to as many concerts as you want if you just want to follow them around. I don't quite understand the economics of how they're charging for this, but that idea of a subscription-based band is quite unique and I haven't seen anybody do that yet.
Yeah, so I don't agree that it's subscription-based. It's a one-time sum by the sound of it. Because I could see...
Okay, sorry. No, that, yeah. good catch there.
Yeah, because I could have seen like, okay, let's say that for $80 a month, you can do the exact same thing. And they just make the entry onto that list and exiting off it a little bit tougher. We have movie theaters doing that here in the Netherlands. And I can imagine them making even more money if they would cut it up into smaller sums of money, and then it would sound even more impressive.
So I do love the movie theaters here doing subscriptions. We also passed around an article that Lyft was looking at subscriptions.
Yep.
So that you could get a larger number of rides for a certain amount of monthly. There was confliction in the article whether it was $199 or $300 per month, I believe.
Yeah.
But those ideas, so I know we diverted off into a tangent of this subscription-based economy, but I do love that, again, you are seeing new ways of handling business that's all been enabled by this this technology.
Yeah.
So, Chus, coming into wrapping this up, you've had a little bit of time to think more on this. Is there any additional smart, intelligent technology that has helped you? Implementations of technology, not the technology itself, because otherwise we're going to get into chips, and I can use words like Sky Lake and KB Lake, because I don't really know what those mean, and it's wonderful.
Well, that's from a company called Intelligent, and that's just another word for smart. Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yay.
Yeah, but I don't want to get down to that technology level, but the implementation of technology.
Yeah, I think the other side. So if we want to wrap it up, go full circle and look at Airbnb and Uber and whatever. So besides technologies becoming available and democratizing entrepreneurship for people and allowing anybody and everybody to make money, these companies are actually trying to make efficient use of things that are available instead of having to make new things that people buy because they were made anew. So the idea of Airbnb, of course, is to have places that are empty, filled by people who would love to stay in those empty places. And it's kind of an efficiency trick. And I think those efficiency tricks need to be found. Friends of mine have started a platform here from Amsterdam as a startup, but it's worldwide. It's called 3D Hubs. And they try to fix the problem of people wanting to buy a 3D printer, but them not being able to run it for a lot themselves. And they can rent out 3D printer time to other people, right? This is also just one more platform that allows people who have something to share it with people who need that particular something. And I think that is a very smart technology because it's allowing the widespread contact that you get through the internet to use that for getting supply and demand into contact with each other.
I love that example. The way that I think I'll wrap up here, or at least, and I'll ask you the same question, is what are you most excited about if you look forward for smart technology, smart implementations, intelligent implementations of technology? While Chris is thinking, I'll give my take. My wish for Christmas is very, very simple for implementations of technology to make things smarter. I want my voice assistants to recognize compound commands. I want it to get one step closer to being, and I also would like it to have more personality.
What's a compound command for you?
So I want to be able to say, Amazon thingy, play this song and set this volume and set a timer, right? I want it to be able to have multiple commands that I can string together without having to say the wake word every single time. So, I know there's the efficiency side that you...
No, it's there. It already does it. Mine stays alive. After I say something, I can just say the next thing. We can set yours up in a couple of minutes if you want to.
But was that with the recent improvements?
Yeah.
But that's... So I haven't looked at... I haven't set that up yet. So that is yeah. One thing I need to look into. But that is the technology that I'm looking at becoming more intelligent that makes me the most excited is the voice assistants that I have around me because I absolutely love my Google Home, my Amazon Echo, my Amazon Spot. I love all of these things. I want them to get smarter. I want them to become more of a part of my household and my life. That's me. Chris, go.
My smart technology that I want for Christmas needs to make things simpler for me. Ha ha ha. Smart things do that. No, but things like Google Maps and navigation and calendar appointments have made your life so much easier. On this research trip that we did recently, we could do this actually with minimum preparation time. The only thing we needed to prepare was what we were going to ask, not how we were going to get around, not how long it was going to take, not where we were going to stay. The only thing is that all of these things seem to take more of my time than I want still. So I want my new smart technology to give me my time back because I spend way too much time on my devices.
So this is if X.AI gets a little bit smarter and can handle more complex scheduling across cities, across geographies, that could be a place to, maybe they'll come up with that soon.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, it has been absolutely wonderful having you back. I'm so happy we finally got to do this again. It has been way too long. And I will see you next week, man.
Yeah. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.